Whether you're a first-time poultry owner or looking to expand your flock, you can always use some helpful advice. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered. With great info and products to help raise healthy birds in-store or online at farmandfleet.com/chickdays.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
And the good news, it looks like sunshine is going to cover the state of Wisconsin today, at least for a good chunk of it. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Jahnke. It's going to warm up today as well. Unless you're along the lakeshore, you'll see temperatures reach the low to mid-70s by the end of the day today. Then we've got to keep an eye on western Wisconsin. Things could get interesting starting this afternoon into the overnight hours. They're telling me there's a marginal chance of severe weather for the La Crosse area going into the evening. Tomorrow in the Madison, Milwaukee area, back to sunshine, temperatures right around 70 degrees. And for western Wisconsin, tomorrow you're looking at partly cloudy skies. The rest of the details as far as weather is concerned, I'll leave to Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. He's on the way. We're also going to be catching up with some of the folks that Stephanie Hoff and Charity Seebecker are visiting with in Washington, D.C., including a chief ag negotiator in the trade representative's office that's focused in on the message, all the testing for high path avian influenza in dairy and now beef means to our trade partners. Stand by, that's all on the way.
To help take care of your egg operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Welcome back. Today I want to introduce you to a farm just east of Wisconsin Dells in the community of Endeavor. Gums Farms runs over 6,000 acres of corn and soybeans, but also high-value crops like carrots, onions, potatoes, and mint. Just stop and think about that. 6,000 acres that grow enough vegetables for many families in the state of Wisconsin, plus they're growing jobs for their area community. I talked about it with Roderick Gums, one of the brothers that runs Gums Farms, and I asked him to explain a little bit more about what they grow, why they grow it, and their relationship, not only with their vendors, but their community.
We're growing potatoes, onions, carrots, mint, corn, and beans. The reason we're growing a lot of those types of crops, of course, our experience and our grandfather growing mint, we continue to do that. And then the potatoes seems rather red potatoes do well on the muck. And onions, most of the onions in the Midwest and out east are growing on muck type soil. And there's opportunity in those and we've been able to capitalize on that because of the proximity mm-hmm. to the population. 280 million people grow on the eastern half of the U.S., and so we're closer to the population.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, how does that change your day-to-day operations versus somebody that's just doing corn and soybeans?
Every crop has its own advantages or disadvantages or specialties, I'll say. But for us, the onions and potatoes, we spend a lot of time on them. They did a lot of technology in those crops. We're not only in the production where we're using guidance or monitoring or sensing where we're looking at soil moisture or weather. When we start storing those crops, that's where some of the technology is really beneficial, because we can monitor a storage, we can monitor the temperature, the humidity. We can do that now remotely rather than having to check it twice a day and those types of things. And then when we get into our pack shed where we're adding value at the farm level, we have been able to use technology there and do some automation that's been able to reduce our cost and reduce our labor and put those potatoes and onions in a package that will end up at somebody's local store. And we're proud of the fact that we can produce something that comes off of our field and get to the consumer's table.
Do you have to focus on traceability at all? The components that you use on that field, where's this load, that type of thing? Roderick?
Yes. You know, food safety is a very important aspect of what we do. We just had a pre-planting or a planting meeting yesterday with our employees, and food safety was a topic there, and we went over some things. And in our pack shed, we're audited as well there, and we take that very seriously. And that's talking about traceability. We keep a lot of records all the way through from planting to harvesting, to where stuff is stored, and then when it's packed, we have codes or lot numbers that we're able to put on invoices and things like that we're able to trace something back right to the field or where it was grown.
You are also responsible for forging new relationships with vendors, with people that will feature your products. You are visible at Quick Trip. That's a relationship that you want to work on maintaining.
There's a lot of great people that we work with, and that's probably one of the more visible ones. That's, I'll say, a Wisconsin company that I would consider local and very supportive to communities, and we're proud of the fact that we're visible there. We've been working with them for I think over 10 years, and anytime we see our label or can have our product in the store, we're proud of that fact.
How hard is it to get stores, locations, to pick up the Gums Farm brand?
We spend a lot of time on making visits and inviting different buyers out to the farm to show them the farm, and because we grow the crop, store the crop, pack the crop, we have control over the quality, and we're the farm. And by doing that, or being that, it sets us apart from maybe just a packer or some of the competition. But there's a lot of good people that we work with, and we just try to do the right thing at the right time and be at the right place. When the opportunity arises, we try to be visible, and we've been in it a long time, and some of the business that we get is just by luck to some extent, and the fact that we're just visible and try to do the right thing.
I got to ask you, I want to take you back to the pandemic when everybody suddenly had a very strong appreciation of their food and that phrase, "Know My Farmer, Buy Local." What happened here at Gums Farm? Did you have people coming down the driveway when everything started shutting down, or tell me a little bit about what that was like?
Our employees were very fortunate that they were committed, and they couldn't be traveling, couldn't go anywhere, and we because we store our product and had supplies, and as you well know, everybody was stocking up, and we were able to meet the needs of our customers, and we ended up working some long days, and actually we worked a couple Saturdays and Sundays, which we typically rarely do, in order to fulfill the customers' orders and do our part. We were considered, I think what they called them, essential businesses. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we were able to operate and function. And we tried to take the necessary precautions to protect our employees and those types of things. But we had very good attendance, and our employees were very dedicated. And we took it very seriously to supply all of our customers. And we were able to do that on a timely manner, and we're glad we were able to make it through that time.
Did that pivot help you gain more buyers, more interested parties that said, "Wow, we don't want to go through that again, and look what they did"?
I think that did put a little bit of a spotlight on the fact that if you are able to supply during that time frame, and people never before that ever considered that there would not be a supply of something. And I think that we've been trying to talk about relationships and a partnership and not just trying to, with our customers, having communication and trying to be a reliable supplier that's stable. We've been trying to sell that point, because never before that was that ever a concern or on anybody's radar that they may not be able to buy what they wanted when they wanted. Price was a factor and still is. But what's more important is if you can have the product on time and have it when you want it.
Special thanks to Roderick Gums and his brother Richard for inviting me out to visit Gums Farms just east of Wisconsin Dells in the community of Endeavor, encouraging all consumers to slow down in that grocery store and really pay attention to whether or not you're buying local. Read the labels. You can find out more about Gums Farms and what products they produce online at gumsfarmswi.com. That's G-U-M-Z farmswi.com.
Every time you saw her, she pinched your right cheek. She gave you a peppermint candy and that special wink. You loved Aunt Gladys. But now the boxes of precious moments, stacks of encyclopedias, and heavy outdated furniture is making you crazy.
At Two Men in a Junk Truck, we don't just remove junk, we restore your sanity. Experience the calm after the clutter. Visit twomeninajunktruck.com today for your free estimate.
Keep what you love, ditch what you don't.
QC Kinetics provided amazing pain relief for a former professional baseball player, and you have access to the same life-changing treatments as retired pitcher Jose Alvarez.
I put a lot of stress and strain and work on my right arm, but my right elbow took most of the damage with three surgeries.
Arthritis developed, and the pain was unbearable.
It wasn't just pain when I was trying to play sports. It was any time I was moving the right elbow. It was pretty excruciating at times.
That's when Jose discovered QC Kinetics and their regenerative treatments that help the body heal itself, restoring damaged tissue and providing relief with no surgery or downtime. Jose's message to the medical professionals at QC Kinetics?
My elbow is feeling outstanding. Where were you 10 years ago, for crying out loud?
QC Kinetics is right here. Call for your complimentary consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 608-319-1750. That's 608-319-1750. 608-319-1750.
Tom from Tom's Auto Center. You know the colors of a stoplight. Red meaning alert, yellow meaning caution, green meaning it's safe to move forward. We use a similar system in our repair report, which you receive after every service. Red meaning it needs urgent attention, yellow meaning we have concerns, green meaning your vehicle is all good.
Tom's Auto Center.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Welcome back. We've got Stumach, our ag meteorologist, on the way here in just a moment. But first, let's talk a little bit about the big conversation pieces that they're discussing in Washington, D.C. Stephanie Hoff and Charity Seebecker are there now with a bunch of farm broadcasters from across the United States. Obviously, a big topic for conversation is what's going on with high path avian influenza being detected not only in dairy products, but also in beef. The bottom line, according to Doug McCallop, chief agriculture negotiator in the Office of the United States Trade Representative, is that our dairy products, our beef products, are still completely safe. Why does he say that? Well, he says basically all of those food products are involved in pasteurization, homogenization, or being properly cooked, which should eliminate any active virus.
The tests that have come back so far have shown the PCR tests that the virus was killed by pasteurization. They're going to continue with 38 states worth of testing, so we're going to have a really solid body of work to point to, but absolutely pasteurization makes a difference. I think for a lot of reasons, we want to see consumers have pasteurized product, and I think this is another example of that.
That's, again, Doug McCallop. He is the chief agricultural negotiator in the Office of the United States Trade Representative. Now, obviously, let's think about trade. If the United States finds something scientifically that says, oh, be careful, it could shut down some of our borders when it comes to trade. He said he's monitoring the situation, and so far, no one's raised any alarms.
We haven't seen widespread trade implications. That's still the case today. we want it to still be the case. That's why, you know, we always want to have science-based discussions with training partners. If we adhere to the science, we're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. The U.S. has undoubtedly, I think, the best animal disease surveillance in the world. We have the strongest food safety protocols and programs in the world. We know early and we know often what our issues are. But again, I think this is something that's certainly many countries are going to have to confront this. And it's in everybody's best interest to adhere to the science. And that's going to keep trade moving throughout this process.
Doug McCallop, again, he's with the U.S. Trade Office and talking about what we've got to keep an eye on scientifically and otherwise with this high-path avian influenza situation. And, you know, like you said, this is not just a U.S. issue. This high-path avian influenza has popped up around the world. So we may be setting precedents with all the testing that we're doing, despite the fact that it's a little laborsome for the dairy farmers specifically that have to begin those tests if they're moving animals. Let's pivot now and talk weather. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us. If you're going to be moving animals, if you're going to be moving farm equipment, I like what I see as far as the weather today, my friend.
Yeah, today is pretty nice. Tomorrow will be all right. Tonight, well, that leaves something to be desired because that's where we have to throw some rain in.
Yeah, and I see even our buddies in western Wisconsin, that La Crosse area, it sounds like they've got, what did it say, a marginal possibility for severe weather.
It's marginal, very marginal. It looks to me like severe weather should stay a little further west, but it's something to watch, keep in mind for tonight. What's going to happen here is a low pressure system swings up out of the southwest. We have a nice sunny break today. That next low is going to build up towards southern parts of north or southern parts of South Dakota, get the right state, and cross pretty quickly up through Minnesota late tonight into the early morning hours of tomorrow. Now, most heavier rain will be in northern Wisconsin. As far as Wisconsin is concerned, there is that very small chance of a little severe weather up into northern Iowa, far south Minnesota. I don't think we have to be overly concerned there. And this system moves through pretty quick. Rain amounts tonight up to a quarter inch or so. That's about all we expect. A more organized system then starts to build on in. And late Wednesday night on into Thursday, showers and even some thunderstorms begin to roll in. And that rain chance sticks around then Thursday into the day Friday. And at that time, we could see another half to one inch of rain, if not even more. So it does get more wet as we head toward the end of the week. But just that quick toward the weekend, small or very slight chances of rain, and not too bad as temperatures are concerned heading through the weekend. Doesn't sound too bad. May stay a little too damp, however. We'll watch that develop. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast. Like you said, I like what we've got coming our way today. Tonight might get a little interesting.
Yeah, tonight leaves something to be desired. Today it's sunshine, a nice day, mostly sunny. How about that? And I expect a lot of us to see a 70 or, you know, upper 60s, 71, somewhere in there. South winds 5 to 10, a beautiful day. But the clouds roll in, even very late afternoon or evening. Some rain may develop in western Wisconsin. Showers, could be a thunderstorm in the nighttime. Heavier rain amounts up in northern Wisconsin, a tenth of an inch or two elsewhere. In the mid and low 50s tonight, southeast and southwest winds develop 5 to 15. Another sunny day Wednesday, and again, just about 70, you know, a little below or above here and there. West winds 5 to 15. but then some rain developed late Wednesday night into Thursday. Showers, possible thunderstorms in the upper 60s on Thursday, and windy east winds 10 to 20, gusts to 30. Thursday night, Friday, Pam, we could talk another inch or more, so keep your rain gauge ready.
Ooh, inch or more, man. Because the rainfall reporters from over the weekend up until yesterday looked like there was a real dividing line. Like some areas got an inch or more, other areas only got a couple tenths.
Right, and this one looks like over the couple of days, Thursday, Friday, could start to measure up again, so we'll watch.
All right, very good. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for, or maybe not. I know a lot of folks are already getting anxious. They want to try to have more done than they've got done. We'll check in on the latest planting progress report. That's one of the pieces yet on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You could be the perfect fit in the world of clinical research. Ready to do your part in helping medicine move forward? Fortrea is recruiting healthy males and females of non-childbearing potential ages 18 to 65. Trial involves one stay of 4 nights plus 3 follow-up visits. Compensation up to $4,430 may be provided for time and participation. Visit FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-A ClinicalTrials.com. Or call 608-210-5454. Now is your chance to earn extra money while contributing to a good cause. Fortrea Clinical Trials is currently seeking healthy males and females of non-childbearing potential ages 18 to 55. You must be available for one stay of 33 nights plus 2 follow-up visits. Compensation of up to $12,634 may be provided for time and participation. Call Fortrea today, 608-210-5454, or find out more at FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-A ClinicalTrials.com.
Watch PGA Tour champions, including tournament host and defending champion Steve Stricker, at the American Family Insurance Championship when it returns to University Ridge Golf Course, Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 9th. Tournament week includes an exciting concert featuring 3-time Grammy Award-winning Train on Friday, June 7th at Bree Stevens Field. Proceeds will support the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation and the American Family Children's Hospital. Get your tickets today at amfamchampionship.com. That's amfamchampionship.com.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' 3 locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
A good friend might tell you that your shoe's untied, or hey, you've got a bit of breakfast on the corner of your mouth. Well, a good friend will also share valuable insights about the scoop on money and energy savings. Like Benjamin Plumbing and their game-changing electric hybrid water heaters. Potential savings of up to 3 to 4 times a conventional water heater with current tax incentives up to $2,000. Benjamin Plumbing's electric hybrid water heaters go beyond being just a water heater. It acts as a dehumidifier for your basement, kicking musty odors, mold, and excess moisture to the curb. Eco-friendly and efficient, these electric hybrid water heaters will leave your wallet and our environment completely satisfied.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses, I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
They say yes to 7 straight days. A traveling dress rehearsal for you to get comfortable in the seat and feel the power behind the smartest purchase you've ever made. The 7-day, no questions asked return policy, if you need it, at Bergstrom Automotive. Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes.
You know, Will, a lot of people say we sound alike.
I'd have to agree with them, Dad.
Well, the two of you may sound alike, but you sure don't look alike.
And your roof doesn't have to look like everyone else's. Allow Sweet Metal Roofing to transform yours.
See what one will look like on your home.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweet Metal roof.
SWITA, metalroofing.com.
Sweeter Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
This is Matt.
And Pete Gunderson.
We recently celebrated the life of Ingrid, proud of her Norwegian heritage and a passion for art. Her life celebration included the Norwegian art of rose mulling. Her family was invited to help decorate the casket. Allow us to personalize every detail of a life well lived.
Let our family help your family.
Visit GundersonFH.com. Over 100 years as your hometown life celebration center.
At Denny's Jewelers, we believe hugs never get old.
To make sure your next gift purchase is deserving of a big old hug, join our Denny's Cares a Little More list.
We help you choose what pieces of jewelry are must-haves, so your partner knows exactly what you like.
Then we help make those wishes come true.
Stop by and wrap your arms around the Denny's Cares a Little More list.
And enjoy the hug.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
Rob, I'm going to combine a couple topics I had today into one and ask you a question about this. And I'm really high on Cooper DeJean. Hell, everyone is. And here's why I don't think, even if he's there, why the Packers won't draft him. Because everyone's picking it. Every mock draft has it. Everyone wants him. Everyone is like, DeJean's the guy. I go back, and then I'm going to ask you, Robbie, on the worst pick in your lifetime and the best pick in your lifetime. And I'll couple this when, for me, I mean, there's a lot of bad picks that are really prevalent. But for me, it's like the pick that didn't happen, and this goes to T.J. Watt. Everyone, yep, the blind, deaf, and dumb even knew that T.J. Watt should be a Packer. He was there right for the picking. And our guy, the Silver Fox, old Teddy, he traded back, ended up getting Kevin King and Vince Beagle out of it. To me, that's just like, I still like have nightmares about it. I still wake up in a cold sweat thinking about it sometimes. So for me, it's like the pick that didn't happen. It could be one of the worst. I know you got Mandrich up there and Sherrod, whatever. But for me, it's the pick that didn't happen. What's, in Rob Reichel's lifetime, we'll start with the worst, and then your best for Packers draft picks?
Yeah, you know, Mike Sherman had a lot of worst in his 4 or 5 years as general manager. Evil from Too Small, Jamal Reynolds, you know, he had a bunch.
Sorry, Justin Harrell. Sorry.
Yeah, and right. Although Harrell was Teddy Thompson's, that was 07, I think. By then, Sherman was gone. Tony Mandarich is probably the worst pick in franchise history, Ebo, and he's in the discussion for worst in, you know, in league history. And it's not only because he busted at number two, Ebo, which he obviously did, but just remember who went 3, 4, 5 that year, right? Obviously, Troy Aikman came off the board at one. And then Green Bay was sitting there in the catbird seat at number two with a lot of, you know, staring at a lot of great talent. So now, Evo, here's what goes in the next four picks, all right? Barry Sanders, 3 to the Lions. You can make the case he's the best running back in the last 30 years. Derek Thomas, one of the greatest pass rushers we've ever seen at number 4. Hall of Fame player, just like Barry Sanders was. Deion Sanders goes 5 to Atlanta. Arguably the greatest corner in league history. So, Evo, you've got 3, 4, 5 there that are all in the Hall of Fame that are certainly in the discussion of the best player at their position over the last, you know, 3 decades, maybe ever. So my worst pick probably is Tony Mandarich, Evo. I know that's low-hanging fruit.
Well, that's a clubhouse leader right now, Rob, for everyone. That's a clubhouse leader.
That's a super easy one. But, man, that's as bad as it gets, Evo.
And then, Rob? The best for Rob Reichel. Someone had said whatever draft pick we sent for Brett Favre was the best one.
Yeah, which was actually a first, and it was the 20th pick, if I remember right, overall, Ebo. So, and it was, I think Atlanta took a running back that bombed. I mean, so that certainly played out. I mean, there's a bunch of them, right? I mean, they have the franchise's all-time leading receiver with Donald Driver in round 7. They have, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers at pick 24, wins the Super Bowl, wins 4 MVPs. It would be hard to argue against Rodgers, Ebo, in terms of where he went in the draft. Now you could go down and make the case, right? They found remarkable players in the middle round. I guess, you know, you can play this game a lot of ways, right? What, you know, you get extra weight. You get extra points for finding a guy in round 5, right? They found Dorsey Levens in round 5, for example. He was an elite running back on a Super Bowl champion team. You know, they found Antonio Freeman in round 3. He was the best receiver in football for a stretch of time in the 90s. They have hit a lot in mid-round picks. They've been unbelievable, Evo, finding offensive linemen in the middle rounds that have gone on to do great things and be Pro Bowl players. I mean, cripes, they took Mark Hauser, for example, in round 7, right? They took Lang and Sitton in round 4. I mean, there's a long list of guys, Evo, but to get a 4-time MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback. I wasn't a big fan of the Aaron Rodgers drama and all that over the last number of years, man. But Evo, to get a quarterback like that who's in the discussion for 10 to 15 years of being the best player at his position in the league, it's kind of tough to argue against that. I mean, we can go back to Bart Starr, right? In the
60s. I said in your lifetime, Robbie.
I know you did. I'm not quite as old as the draft where they found Bart, Evo. So we're gonna stick with Rodgers for right now. Back to worst picks ever, though. You remember?
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Sure, she'll stop farming when pigs fly. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, and as long as the weather stays dry and warm, we're going to be farming today. So watch out for farm equipment on the roadways you share. A couple quick reminders from the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation to make smart decisions. Be alert, watch out, leave space, and don't assume. Don't assume just because you can see that farm implement ahead of you that the farmer can see you. There's a lot of blind spots with farm equipment. So please, don't assume that farmers know you're there. Leave space, watch out, be alert, and make smart decisions. I don't want to have to report about any farm accidents, let alone farm fatalities, during this planting season. Today is the 30th day of April. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1789, George Washington became the very first U.S. president. He took the oath of office on the balcony of Federal Hall in New York City. George Washington becomes the first U.S. president this day, 1789. Happy birthday to actor Johnny Galecki, probably better known by us as Leonard from The Big Bang. He's 49 years young. Kirsten Dunst is 42. And holy crow, look at Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson actually celebrates his birthday on two different days. He said he was born before midnight on April 29th, but it didn't get registered in the county courthouse until the next day. So Willie Nelson celebrates his birthday both on the 29th and the 30th. Today, he is 91 years young, and now you know. We want you to know more about the Allison Dairyland finalists that will be headed to Door County later this week to finish off their interview process to become our next agriculture ambassador. Saturday night, we'll learn the identity of our next Alice in Dairyland. Michaela King would like to be that person. She grew up on a beef and crop farm in Big Bend, Wisconsin, and wants to inspire other young people to find out where their food comes from.
Yes, so I am from Big Bend, Wisconsin in Waukesha County. I grew up on my family's beef and crop farm. I showed 4-H, beef and dairy my whole life, as long as I could. And then I ended up at the University of Minnesota, and I studied journalism and photography there and was super active in the Gopher Dairy Club. I was on their executive team. I produced their yearbook. And then I was also on the executive team for the Beta Chapter of Clovia, which is a sorority all about agriculture and based in 4-H. There's only two chapters, the Alpha and the Beta, but we love each other. We're a mighty small group. Finding Alice, I was the 2019 Waukesha County Fair, so the fair. That was the first time I met Alice in person and got to spend some time with her, and it really just launched my love for educating people about agriculture. Waukesha County is very urban, and so our county fair is very much people that have never seen cows before, never really understood where milk comes from, where their food comes from, so I got to spend that time really educating them about that, and then Alice just seemed like the perfect next step to take that to the next level, from a county level to a state level.
You've had a really interesting opportunity to observe people on the Minnesota campus, like you said, at home. Tell me a little bit about what it's taught you about people and agriculture in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that people really, like I said, being in an urban county, people really have no idea about agriculture. And I think there's a lot of misconstrusions about who farmers are, what they do, and how much work really goes into putting your food on your plate. And I wish that people could have the chance to just shake a farmer's hand and, like, feel how rough it is, because they spend every day working to put food on plates, working to make sure their animals are cared for. They're doing everything. And the thing that I learned most when I was growing up is that my dad, although I love him to death, would put the farm above me, which was fine. That was his passion, his love. And I think sometimes people forget that, like, it's not just a job for farmers. It's a life. It's a love. It's a passion. And I wish that people could really experience that more.
So you may get a chance to do that, share some of that passion. When you lay awake at nights, Michaela, do you think about, if I could, I would try this. I think that I could do this.
I do. I don't know many people that don't.
Yeah.
If I was to be Alice, I'm most excited to be in a cranberry bog because they're so cool. I will say I am not looking forward to the rumored spiders that are there in cranberry bogs, but Wisconsin has such unique agriculture, you know, things that people have never heard of, like ginseng, which is such a huge industry here. I'm just excited to explore it all, to learn about it all, and just, like, really dive headfirst into the uniqueness of Wisconsin.
Now, people have heard about your beef background, showing your passion on campus, etc. What don't they know about you, Michaela? Some human interest item. Do you binge watch a flick, or is there something that we kind of... That's kind of cool about Michaela.
Yeah, so my fun fact is always that my nickname growing up was FedEx. I have four amazing siblings, and all of them have bright red hair. I do not. So my brothers like to tease me that the FedEx guy dropped me off and that he was my real dad. So that's my fun fact that I always tell. But kind of the other thing that I always tell people is that my second love to writing is photography. I love taking photos, especially of my family's farm. I was lucky enough to create a calendar for them and create a recap video. And, like, looking back, it has been one of the most rewarding things to just capture the life of my dad and my brother and my uncle and my cousin and just the farm in general, that people can look back and be like, yeah, we did that. Look at us.
From Big Bend, Wisconsin, Michaela King, another finalist that would like to become Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador. You can find out more about Michaela and the rest of the finalists, as well as the finale event scheduled for Saturday evening in Sturgeon Bay. Just go to aliceindairyland.com.
The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is kicking off a podcast series that tours specialty crop destinations across the state. Over the next several months, we'll visit strawberry patches, hop gardens, sweet corn stands, and more. WADA Executive Director Sheila Everhart says Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism has a lot to offer.
Wisconsin truly is America's agricultural tourism destination. And agricultural tourism is a way for us to promote specialty crops. It's a way for all of us farmers to work together to bring economic prosperity to our rural communities. It's a way for farmers to have an additional revenue stream to keep that farmland in production, to keep that next generation on the farm.
Learn more at gowiagtourism.com.
So Wisconsin farmers tried to capitalize on every available day to get some field work done. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday across the state, 10% of our corn was in the ground. That's actually 6 days ahead of last year, 2 days ahead of our five-year average. Same situation with soybeans. 11% of that crop's already in the ground. We've got 39% of our oats that are already sowed and 11% of that crop already through the soil surface. 75% of our potatoes are in the ground. That's 2 weeks ahead of both last year and the five-year average. In overnight electronic trade this morning, December corn currently down 2 cents at 470. November soybeans down three right now at 1175. The July wheat, that's down eight at $6. Dairy markets yesterday, no change on barrel or block cheese. The AA butter did drop a half a cent to $2.96 per pound. Class 3 milk from A that goes into cheese, down a penny at $18.07. The June milk right now unchanged at $18.18 a hundredweight. Boy, if you've been by a greenhouse or a lawn garden store, you've seen how busy they are this time of the year. Everybody trying to get their green thumb going, and some may be looking at alternative plants to change up this year's garden. Charity Seebecker's got some suggestions on why native plants might be something you consider.
Spring gardening is around the corner, and this year, while you're out shopping and really trying to figure out what to plant, consider native plants. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Amy Stafen, Department of Natural Resources Conservation Biologist, says they benefit more wildlife than you may think.
Let's think about butterflies, for example. So in Wisconsin, we have about 150 butterfly species that could benefit from landscaping with native plants. And a fair number of these, such as the monarch butterfly, are declining. And this is largely due to the loss of habitat and food sources. Native insects evolved over millennia to digest native plants. They have special enzymes that allow them to eat and digest native plants. But you bring in plants from other places, and they are less able to eat and digest them. You know, not native plants like ornamental trees and shrubs, or other plants that are commonly used in home landscaping. And I know most people have come to understand this concept with the monarch caterpillar and how it relies on native milkweeds. And this type of reliance of native butterflies and other insects on specific native plant species as both larval host plants and as adult nectar sources, it applies to many other butterflies as well. And in fact, it applies to many different types of insect species, not just butterflies. But then you can also consider how when you have native plants in your garden and you have all these wonderful insects that evolved with these plants, well, that benefits birds. So about 96% of North America's land birds feed insects to their young. So that's the majority of our birds that nest among us. Really need the source of insects for their babies.
That was Amy Stafen, Department of Natural Resources Conservation Biologist. She says people wanting to add native plants to their yards should start small, keep it simple, and record what and where you plant. Drawing a simple map of what species you're planting where and putting tags out in the ground to help label them will help you make sure that you don't make the mistake of thinking they're a weed when it comes time they're emerging in the spring. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
I'm Will Sweeta. As an engineer, we look for precision, quality, technical expertise, and products that solve long-term problems.
It's what we do at Sweeta Metal Roofing.
Contact us about our eco-friendly and sustainable roofing.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweeta Metal Roof.
S-W-I-T-A, metalroofing.com.
Sweeta Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
When does furniture become forever furniture? When it comes from Portage Furniture. You see, Portage Furniture prides itself on generation-lasting heirloom forever furniture. The kind of comfort and style you'll pass down someday, way in the future. So it will continue to make endearing memories.
Experience the difference at Portage Furniture, proudly located in historic downtown Portage, and portagefurniture.com.
Your forever furniture.
Over four decades of turning customers into loyal friends, and the reason is simple.
Here at Denny's Jewelers, we make jewelry shopping easy, relaxing, and because we have something for everyone.
Hand-selected diamonds and gemstones.
Custom design, appraisals, fashion jewelry, watches, repair, and even jewelry restoration.
Stop by and allow us to turn you into our next true friend.
My folks like the prices and the people at Denny's Jewelers. They care a little more.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk. and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. Let's catch up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Always want to remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, and their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. We just got done talking about the Crop Progress Report right here in Wisconsin. Let's take a look at the broader spectrum. What did you see, John, as far as the latest Crop Progress Report? Any region, any crop that caught your attention?
Yeah, just a couple different things. I mean, obviously, we knew that rain was coming, and just talking to producers, they had the pedal to the metal out there getting things going before the storm came through, especially in the western Corn Belt. We really saw some big jumps there. Iowa, 39% of the corn's in the ground, and again, a good portion of the beans in the ground, and that was the number that I saw that was kind of the most staggering. Soybean planting at 18% nationally, that's the best we've seen here in about 10 years in terms of pace, and maybe one of the best ever in terms of an early start. Typically, we're about 10% planted this time, but it was one of the things, just talking to producers, because of the weather coming, the producers feel like they're a little more comfortable getting soybeans in the ground early, that they could ride that weather out with them and then come back with the corn later. Corn just doesn't like sitting in that wet soil if we get the rain that they're talking about. So we're off to a good start, pressure in the market a little bit on the overnight. We'll see how that plays out. Now we got to keep an eye on the forecast here. We're going to be pretty wet till the middle of May. It sounds like we got just a line of storms coming one right after the other here that could keep things fairly limited over the next couple of weeks. We'll see if that really pushes the market or not going forward. Biggest thing we'll have to watch is around the middle of the month. We want this crop in about 50% planted here by the middle of May. And then if that's not happening just because of planting delays, then we could really start seeing the market get a little antsy regarding the crop not getting in the ground or the crop not being as good as we want it to be.
Right. Well, we also talked about how fast we can cover ground with today's technology, too. So that would really be interesting if our numbers fall off. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend with us. Let's pivot then, John, unless you've got more on the Crop Progress Report, and talk about something that seems to not want to get out of the headlines. Every time we turn around, there's something new that we're trying to reveal about high path avian influenza and its carryover into food related products. We've been talking about dairy. And the I guess we'd say the need for pasteurization. And now we're focusing on beef. Tell me what you're seeing and how trade's reacting.
Yeah, that's going to be the next kind of concern. Article came out late yesterday afternoon. USDA is going to start taking samples here of ground beef from those states that have the outbreak of the bird flu in it. Now, we're looking at basically nine states. We're about 34, 35 herds is what it sounds like that have been exposed to this. Obviously, they've been testing the milk. We had headlines last week about parts of the milk, the viruses being in the milk, even though they were dead or killed through the pasteurization process, and the milk is still safe. But I still think it's kind of shook the market a little bit. Here you had a cattle market yesterday. It was looking really strong. Didn't fall apart yesterday, but didn't really get any boost. I think that's our next concern, is does this start showing up in the beef side of the equation and ground beef more than anything? And that's where we're going to start seeing some testing happen there. On the trade side of things, nothing major has come out of it. Colombia, though, is one of our beef importing nations. They did ban U.S. beef here last week as a starting point. That's the only concern I think would be for the cattle market there, if this does start showing up or has some testing in there, even though technically if you cook products properly, things will be safe. But it's enough to make some of these foreign entities step away from U.S. beef for a while. So that's something that's got me a little concerned right now. I may have put a little bit of pause in the cattle market yesterday.
Is there any other threat from any other country? I mean, avian influenza is not just a U.S. issue.
Very much so. Maybe that's some of the reason we haven't seen anything yet at this time frame. I mean, obviously, avian influenza has really been tied to China and some of the issues that they've been dealing with in the past with regarding that disease. But, you know, again, this is still the first time that it's really ever shown up in cattle in that regard. And I think that's maybe the unknown here in that piece. So it's something we're going to have to kind of watch. You know, it just seems like the headlines die down and all of a sudden another little thing pops up again and the markets have to react or digest it just to find out what's going to be the impact in the longer term in terms of demand for dairy as well as meat products.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is along with us. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com. Their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. You know, it's one of those situations, John, where I wonder if there was another headline out there, world unrest, what have you, Would that take the market's attention away from High Path?
That just seems to be the kind of the cycle we're on. It just comes down to the clicks in the media and what kind of headlines draw the attention of the traders that day. You know, right now the world's kind of calmed down at least a little bit. So that allows us to focus back in on this type of a headline. It's just going to be interesting. Again, that's just how modern trade is. Sometimes it's frustrating for producers because it can move things so quickly. But it's just the life we're dealing with right now in terms of markets.
All the more reason to talk to you about risk management, huh?
Very much so, because you never know when this black swan event could hit through the news wires.
Absolutely. Good deal. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week.
That sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg joining us live this morning from West Bend. Again, he is the fellow that we lean on for risk management advice and global headline updates. You can find him online, totalfarmmarketing.com, or as I said, call 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. All right, folks, tomorrow bringing you another one of our Alice in Dairyland finalists. Till then, enjoy the day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngkey.